This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, July 13th. Well, wheat markets had a pretty solid week, even though we didn't close all that great. For the week, Kansas City was up 18, Minneapolis up 16, Chicago was up 42. Corn down 6, soybeans down 5. So the wheat market getting a boost, it led by Chicago, which just soared above the other two more higher quality markets. But Chicago got a little bump from the crop report, and also earlier in the week got a bump from early harvest results out of Russia and Europe both, suggesting that yields were less than expected. So a little bit of a surprise coming out of Russia, which has frankly been all over the map with production estimates. USDA has been consistently in the high 70s, around 77, 78 for Russian wheat production, whereas the private guys have been more in the low 80s. Sovcon at times has been around 83. So I would think that those numbers are coming down more in line with where USDA is for Russian wheat production. Other than that, the crop report verifying that wheat production will be down again this year from last year by about 100 million bushels. That was not a big surprise, but it was at 1.824 billion bushels. That was down 53 million from last month's estimate from USDA, and it was down 24 million from where the average trade estimate was. Winter wheat down 46 million bushels from last month and down 25 from the estimate, down 80 million from last year. Hard red winter wheat at 710 million bushels is down 33 million from last month, 22 million less than the estimate, and down 123 million from a year ago. Soft red at 280 million bushels is down 17 million from last month, down just 10 from the estimate, but still up 41 from a year ago. So when you look at just U.S. production, soft red is up, hard red is down. You would think that Kansas City would at least be reclaiming some of its weakness against Chicago, but the bigger picture is that Europe is having another short crop, and Russian production looks like it's going to be lower than expected. So that's kind of goosing the Chicago market. That's where the big traders are going to go. As far as setting world price, it comes down to Chicago, even though Russia grows hard red winter wheat. I know it's kind of confusing, but you just don't have the kind of volume in Kansas City that would accommodate big traders who are going to be trading wheat in general. For corn and soybeans, we had carry out from last year increased in corn up 145 million bushels to 2.248 billion bushels. Soybeans were up 35 million to 620 million bushels, and wheat was up 61 million at 1.04 billion bushels. That was part of the drag on the wheat space late in the week. Now for new crop, we've got wheat carry out at 942 million bushels. That's up 17 over last month's estimate. Corn took a big drop, and of course that's on the 5 million acre drop in plantings. But at 2.648 billion bushels, that's down 675 million from last month's estimate and puts us about 400 million more, exactly 400 million more than a year ago. Soybeans at 425 million bushel carryout for this coming year. That is up 30 million over last month's estimate. Taking a look at world production numbers for the last market year that just wrapped up on June 30th for most countries, ending stocks were up 1.5 million tons at 297 million tons. For this next crop year that's just beginning, we're at 315 million tons. That's a pretty big jump from last year, but it's still down 1.5 from last month's estimate, and it's down 1 from the average trade estimate. So world wheat supplies continue to increase by a pretty healthy clip by about 18 million tons over last year. And a lot of that is coming from Argentina and Australia, in particular Australia, which is on track for a much better growing season than they've seen over the last 3 years. For new crop estimates, we were unchanged in Argentina at 21 million tons, Australia unchanged at 26 million tons, which again is up 11 million just over a year ago. So most of the increase in world production and world supplies are coming directly out of Australia. Canada was unchanged at 34 million tons. The European Union was down 1.5 million at 139.5 million tons. They left China unchanged at 136, India unchanged at 107. They took Russia down 0.5 million tons at 76.5 million tons. Kazakhstan was unchanged at 13.5 million. Ukraine unchanged at 26.5 million. So again, not big changes. A notable jump in world stocks because of Australia over last year, but from last month we're down about 2 million tons in production estimates and ending stocks estimates as well. So we got the supply-demand report out of the way. We've got harvest pretty much wrapped up in the Central Plains. We're still moving forward with soft red harvest up into the Midwest, and now we've got the Northern Plains winter wheat harvest right in front of us. We're looking at some pretty stellar yield potentials across the Northern Plains, in particular Montana, which has had just an ideal growing season except for some late hail. Now obviously that's never wanted, but by and large crop conditions have just been off the charts excellent for winter wheat and spring wheat as well for the most part. So I would expect to see some basis pressure in at least the Northern Plains off the PNW as well as we get into the harvest across Montana, South Dakota, and North Dakota. We've got weather, of course, is still the predominant feature in the grain space, and of course that's focused primarily on corn and soybeans. Last week they were looking at this week, a return to hot and dry conditions across much of the Midwest, which was the early, you know, stoking of prices for the row crops. By the end of the week, that forecast had completely changed, and they were looking at cooler temperatures and more rain for at least the first part of this week. Private guys are still holding out that there could be some hot and dry, that this massive heat dome that's centered over the Southern Plains, just baking the cotton crop and what corn they grow there, but it's also expected to move back and forth into the Midwest and back west again. So the corn is pollinating as we speak across much of the Western Midwest, and it looks like they're going to get most of that done while temperatures are in the 80s and decent chances of thunderstorms moving through. It'll come back probably late July when soybeans are starting to pollinate, but beans will also pollinate into early August. And it just depends how long that high pressure ridge sticks around in the Midwest. But it's a huge dome. It's very hot. The Southern Plains, the Southwest, just cooking. And so those crops are being hurt. It looks like the cotton crop probably is most at threat at this point. But corn and beans, we're removing much of the weather premium there, but we still have a ways to go. But it looks like most of the corn will get pollinated under almost ideal conditions. Soybeans, if that high pressure ridge comes back in late July, early August, that's going to cook the soybeans. So that's where most of your risk is at this point. It certainly could shave corn yields off as you try to fill the cobs and start to pull back on kernel fill, but at least for the most critical part of the growing season, it looks like corn probably will do okay. The Delta region and some of the Southern Midwest is getting really hot, and it's going to hurt that. But it's really tough to rally a corn market if you don't see that high pressure ridge parked over Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, and it just simply is not. So corn is pulling back. We're actually gapping lower coming out of the night session for corn and soybeans. Corn breaking below that breakout point on Friday and closing below it is a pretty bearish signal. Now we're getting a gap lower today. So unless the market recovers quickly, it looks like the corn high is probably in. And soybeans, it's hard to say just yet that it's over, but with a gap lower today and also just starting to inch below those breakout points, this is kind of an inflection point. If the market can hold here and then bounce off of that, that's a test of support and a rally off of that, and it's a successful test. If on this gap we continue on lower, then it'll probably be viewed as a gap past that support level, which becomes a pretty negative component. So it's a critical point for soybeans, and it's important that we hold here, or else I think both row crops are kind of just done. You know, if the weather turns good, you're looking at a massive corn crop with shaky demand. With soybeans, you just had a better scenario there because you have a much stronger demand base, and the private guys were always leaning toward late July through August that the heat would come anyway. That's still a ways off, so we just don't know. But with corn, you didn't have that demand structure to really be able to spook the market, other than a big drop in planted acres. So we'll see. You know, if beans take off, obviously corn would tag along with that, and wheat would tag along with corn. But and it would be Chicago wheat. So we're still in the throes of weather data and weather markets, and anything can happen. But the technical picture has certainly buckled here, especially for corn and soybeans. It's about to buckle, and we need to snap back pretty fast. Need, you know, a gap failure, basically, that it gaps lower but closes higher. That would be a gap failure, and which means the market's going up. But it's testing support in soybeans. We need to hold here, or else it becomes much more difficult to really push this market higher from a technical standpoint. So that's where we're at. I think with wheat, if corn and beans do take another run higher, Chicago will be pulled higher. Chicago appears to be wanting to move away from Kansas City and Minneapolis anyway. So give it some time. This is because of the disappointing yields that we're seeing in Russia primarily, but also in Europe. We knew Europe was coming in with a shorter crop, but we didn't think it would be this short. So Chicago's going to be the leader here for a while until we get probably done with July, until we get through the harvest of the Northern Hemisphere, and then we'll kind of see where we're at. But it is setting up for some pretty nice opportunities to trade those markets from a spread standpoint. Taking advantage of the rally in Chicago against Kansas City and Minneapolis, I think is again setting us up for some nice opportunities to fade those spreads. But for now, we just need to keep our powder dry and see where this all shakes out. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.